Yes, people. Welcome to the Property Strategy Podcast.
Yo, people. Welcome to Property Strategist Podcast.
Yeah.
Your boy. Looker. Who's in the building today?
Gox.
Akin in the building.
The tallest.
Sorry. And your boy Kenny. Wow.
Okay. 6 foot guy. Man,
so what are you man telling me?
Great, fantastic.
Got any interesting tenant stories, building stories.
Well. Thank God to Hurricane, whatever they called it. Bare fences come off.
I'm still
replacing fences as I speak.
Really?
So wow. It's been peak. And obviously, when it comes to fences, you now need to decide between you and the neighbor who's responsible for what
Ooh.
Side and all of that stuff. So it's, but you know.
And there's the thing with fences too. You can't go to the shop and pick it up.
Exactly.
You have to get it delivered.
Yeah. Delivered, yeah. I have to get someone.
It's big and bulky.
It's a long process, isn't it?
So, it is.
Yeah, so shout out to Hurricane Eunice. And then, yeah. What about you?
No, good. Actually, follow me to the house to see the builders.
Yes.
Yeah, we showed them around. That was probably a good progress in the week. Had two builders out, scope out the work for like one of the houses that we're going to do work on.
Mm.
That was good because the guy before just went AWOL basically. Mm. And I had him on another house doing the kitchen, and he did a bodge job, bro. Like he done a bodge job, but he didn't finish it.
Mm.
So I had to get.
Yeah. See, this is what happens when you try new people, innit? You got to be careful, innit? Because you wanted to try someone different.
And thank God that I had him on that small. He's just doing the kitchen.
Oh, so yeah, give him a taster first.
Yeah, just imagine I didn't do that. And I had him on a whole big project. He would have just.
We need to do a whole new episode on red flags.
Yeah, red flags for property, builders. For builders.
Mm.
But other than that, it's been pretty good, I think.
Mm.
What about you?
Yeah, I mean, same old stories with the tenants, man. Like,
yeah.
I might as well just say it anyway. Like, there's this guy, this particular tenant, yeah.
Mm.
Basically, his job, his payment date changed.
Mm.
So he's always late now, basically.
Yeah.
But the landlord is cool with it because they're just like, as long as I get paid, that's all that matters to me. So we just handle things that way.
Okay.
But then he's always messaging. So let's say that something needs to be done in the house. I'll be messaging him, but he thinks that I'm basically saying, yo, rent is due.
Mm-mm.
You know what I'm saying? So he won't answer me. But then I've noticed, as soon as he makes a payment, he'll answer me. So he'll call me back and say, hey, bro, how you doing?
Mm.
Then I'll look, and he's just made a payment then. So it's like he's always running from me thinking, but I'm just here trying to help him. Like, right. Yo, there's someone coming to the house, but he's always trying to duck me. Anyways,
it's
a funny guy, man. Yeah. He's always moving weird like that, but cool. Yeah.
How's the crypto stuff? Because obviously I know you're
oh, yeah.
Just briefly, how's that stuff?
I
follow Kenny on YouTube. I said it.
Yeah, say it, man.
I said it.
Yeah, no, you know, it's a weird one.
Yeah, no,
it's a real weird one. So I've been in crypto for a minute now. And the thing is, I've used strategies and property to work with crypto. So I'm not like one of them guys that will say, put it on this coin and, and watch it go to this. I'm more like passive income in crypto.
Mm.
So I thought to myself, you know, like, let me try and actually teach people. You know, let me try and teach people about this thing. So I started a crypto YouTube channel called Crypto Kenny. So if you want to go on YouTube
crypto
and find
Kenny.
Me,
go follow
there's some crazy returns that you can make. Mm. And if you just use simple principles.
It's not financial advice. You have to add that
oh
bit.
Yeah, and it's not financial advice. Like, so if you lose money, don't look at me. Don't look at me because I've lost money too. So
okay.
No ones.
Okay, cool. But it's one of those things you want to kind of talk about more and you want to bring to the platform more, so we're going to be hearing more about that stuff, right?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
the people want it, innit?
Stay tuned. Yeah, man. Of course.
And you're great at explaining, because a lot of this stuff is very, very
Thank
complicated,
you,
in my opinion. But when you speak about it, it kind of brings it. So I'm learning, like, literally from my boy.
There you go.
But today,
so follow up the YouTube.
Yeah, follow the crypto.
Come
on YouTube. But yeah, today we've got an interesting episode for you. We're talking about how to buy properties up north, and how to be a quote unquote, you know, hands-off investor as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what should be looking for. This is an episode that we've done previously, I'm sure.
Yeah, but it's just important to go back,
exactly,
you know, to the basics. And we have to assume that, you know, we've got new people listening in now that weren't with us from the start.
Exactly.
So let's go back and let's bring them in too from the very start on how to do things.
Exactly. And obviously our opinions and our knowledge is obviously increased, and you know, we may even have different opinions than now we have before.
Yeah, true.
So we're gonna dive into it. So yeah, what are you saying? Where should we start, Box?
I guess it's probably just looking at what kind of people first of all will be considering investing up north. So I reckon it might be people who maybe are in full-time work, right? Mm-hmm. London's obviously expensive. A lot of people are priced out from London. So it's like, okay, how can I get a property that I can still be able to manage while I'm still at work, mm-hmm. and it's not going to cost me London price? Yeah, so yeah. Those kind of people might be looking at up north and stuff like that. So I guess the question is, how do they start? Like, what? How do they go about doing it?
Yeah. I think part of the issue number one, obviously we all know about the property market being hot, it's very difficult. You know, we spoke about it last episode. I mean, because I have a normal episode on Patreon episode, but we were saying how like you have to move a bit different.
I like the way you said Patreon, by the way.
Oh yeah, well yeah, they're
jump onto the Patreon. come on
anyways. extra content stuff on there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I feel like you know, the market's a bit hot, so you do have to move a bit more sharper, a bit more
facts.
You know, there's a little things you can do to kind of put yourself ahead of the other people in the pack, that we've had to do and we advise people to do. So we wanna first give advice on like that kind of stuff, but at the same time, like, look at even the mindset of some of the investors and why that's kind of putting them, why it's making it harder for them. For example, a lot of people have a thing of saving up for a certain amount of deposit, right? Like 20 to 30K, I think, is usually the number people have in
their head. Mm-hmm.
But that number itself is actually shifted.
Skyrocketed now.
Yeah, it's more like 30 to 45K now, realistically, for certain places that are popular to the investors. Let's say that, you know, the Birminghams, the Manchesters and stuff like that.
Mm. Yeah.
So I think where we'll start is just even getting people to look outside of those areas again now. Like, you know, not to say that time to invest in those places is gone, but maybe now it's, you're now having to look at these other areas. You know, you mentioned some areas.
Yeah, because I mean, it's important as well, because obviously, like Gokay's mentioned back in the day, like his first place deposit on there was cheap. Do you know what I'm saying? Man. But if you go back to that same place now, times have changed. It's probably double that.
Yeah.
So, like, it's important that you don't just look at the main cities. Mm. Sometimes, you know, you like, there are areas there. Like, once the numbers work, the numbers work.
Yeah.
And that's what's important. Now, obviously, if you're thinking about capital gain and, you know, things like that, then obviously you need to bear it in mind, because some places don't really appreciate with time as fast quickly as other places. But, you know, if you're just looking at something to invest in and get that passive income from, then there are other places. You know, there are other places outside of the main cities, such as Birmingham, Manchester, Liverpool. There are other places. Like, Gokay mentioned the place. Where's that place that you mentioned that someone else?
Lincoln.
See, there you go, Lincoln. Yeah,
So even in regards to that, what the point you're making, Kenny, about there are other places that I think what's important that you can look at is little towns around like the main cities.
There you
like
go.
You're looking at Manchester, Birmingham. Okay, look at little towns outside of that. Like, for example, even the Lincoln that you're mentioning, Nottingham is quite nearby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's like looking at places, you know, close to big cities. Yeah. And like I said, okay, capital growth might not be instant. However, there's a ripple effect.
That's it.
Eventually, you know, it's going to go across. It's going to go across.
This guy's smiling. It's a ripple effect.
I like that. But you know, just going on that point as well, like, I have so many people saying the same thing every week. There's not enough deals. There's not enough opportunities and stuff like that. But the problem is, if you're looking where everyone else is looking, of course there's an opportunity saturated.
Mm.
Like, if you can look at the ripple effect and you're looking at places like, you know, you might target a Birmingham, but instead of Birmingham, you might look at West Midlands.
Mm.
You
may struggle to find a BRRR opportunity or a flip opportunity in Birmingham, central Birmingham, but you may be able to find one in an area like Wolverhampton, Staffordshire. We've gone as far as Atherstone and Telford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've constantly have to go slightly outside of where the area is. And as long as there's plans for
Regeneration, or might benefit from the city next to it.
The travel links as well. Mm. Obviously, we all know about HS2.
Yeah.
But there's also, I think it's the West Midlands tram line as well, which is expanding. So we actually look at those lines, you know, where they're going, where they're connecting to, you know, because they're expanding as well. So
you
really need to look into the research in terms of where are those, where are the places that you can are going to be the next best thing.
Exactly. Facts.
And also, just to add as well, things like local knowledge. So one of my friends was going to uni in Hull. And I think second year she was trying to find a place with her friends, and there was nowhere to be found. They were all taken. And bear in mind, when I did the search, there was loads of places that you could buy for cheap. Like, you're talking 60K, and it's like, if you knew that knowledge, you could just invest up there and say, all right, you and your friends, there you go. Do you know what I mean?
That goes into the first point, I would say, in terms of being a hands-off investor. Like, you've got the money, you found an area that's maybe just outside of the normal areas, you know, and they're close enough to those areas. You may call estate agents. Like, you may start to invest in the local knowledge of understanding, okay, cool, like, what is happening in this area? You may have someone that can help you to do viewings, for example, like a viewing agent and stuff like that. I know you offer the service or something. Like,
service,
but like, people can contact certain people in the area that are not there and say, oh, this is the area I'm looking at. I've done some research. I've seen a couple of properties. And there will be a lot of available properties because you're looking just outside of those places where there's less competition. You know, can I get a viewing agent to go on a Tuesday afternoon when I'm at work to go and view a property? Can they take a detailed video and can they send me a deal pack that kind of explains, you know, what is at the property?
And the thing is, you don't even have to necessarily have like a saucer in that situation, to kind of, I need a property in this area, find me. Like, if you was to, there's like two things you can try. Number one, go to like the Facebook groups of like the local area. For example, if I'm picking an area, Sheffield, I'm just gonna say Sheffield, for instance, go on Facebook, Sheffield landlords or property investors in Sheffield. Do you know what I mean? In there, you're gonna find newbies, you're gonna find experienced people. So I would kind of try and suss out, try and make contacts, connect with people, suss out what level everyone's on. Because obviously, seasoned landlords may be less likely to want to go and do a viewing for you, comparison to somebody who's hungry, somebody that's starting up. Do you know what I mean? Because it's win-win. Like, you're paying them to go do a VM for you and they're learning local area, making connects as well. So that's not one thing. Another thing is, again, it sounds silly, but we always say it, network. Like, if you know you're interested in a certain area, book a day. Just go, there's always monthly pin meetings and other meetings in these areas. So just go one day and say, do you know what, today I'm going to try to make connects. Do you know what I mean? People that I can pick up the phone and call and say, oh, go check this out for me, or what do you think about this area? Do you know what I mean? So that's the starting point, I would even say.
And you can even go, another one is you can use Vuber. Vuber's an app or like a platform that you can go.
I think they're pricey though, isn't it?
They're a bit pricey too. But again, if you're full time work, I think they actually got back to me in my one, but it took a while. It took like 2 weeks.
Not sponsoring us yet, so
so we can't really talk about them too much. But you know, the premise is that you can get people in the area, network, and then you can get people in that area to go view on your behalf. Like, gone are the days that you're gonna be able to go to every viewing. Do you know what I mean? The initial viewing, you may need to get someone in there.
Yeah.
You can always, once you've had an offer accepted,
back and view.
Do you know, man, if I just come for another viewing?
They'll be more than happy.
They'll be more than happy to book you in because you're gonna buy the property in their eyes. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and I think let me not say Vuba, but let's say that you knew someone in the area who wanted to go and view them for you.
Yeah.
All you would need is video the whole place.
Yep.
Look for anything that you would look out for, so dampness and all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know. Yeah. And, you know, facts about the house, you know, what's the structure like?
What does the street look like?
What does the street look like? Yeah, Where's the local station and, you know, things like that. But we'll go into sort of what to, you know, how to practically search and, you know, things like that after. But, yeah, that's all you really need. You haven't got to go there in person and waste time unless you want to. You know what I'm saying?
So, I think that's a good point. So you go to the deposit, you find the area that you're happy with. You know, you've booked a couple of viewings, you had a viewing agent go out there. Now submitting offers and things like that, like, any advice around that?
I guess it's what's very, very important, again, that we say, especially in this market, is you got to be quick on the mark. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're looking, if you see something that you like, don't dilly dally, don't overcomplicate it. Just make the offer for it. Make the offer that you think will make sense to you. Obviously, you'd have done enough research to know what's going to be happening in the area. So if there's a property on the market for 135, for instance, don't overthink it and say, no, I must get it at 130 or it's not a good deal. It might be a good deal at 135. Like, do you know what I mean? You would almost kind of predicted what the future is going to look like. For example, if you know that there's a new tram station that's going to be built 2 minutes away from the house, for instance, okay, yes, I'm buying at 135, but I already know the monthly cash flow, I'm still going to get my £500 a month, for instance.
Yeah.
And I know it's a long-term game. That's the thing with property.
It's always about seeing things long-term,
isn't it? So key. Like, you have to look at, like, if you know it's a long-term thing, then it's fine. Like, even if you're buying it market value, aka what it is on the market for, you might still be in a better stead because you know in the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, it's going to be worth, you know, much more, or a little bit more, or whatever. So I think that's another thing people need to have in mind in this market, very important.
Yeah. I think that's something that I've realized more and more with the investors. They've kind of got like a set price in their head in terms of what they're gonna pay. They've listened to all the knowledge out there around like buying below market value. But again, like, are you thinking about long term? Like, you know, what is what's the price gonna go up by every year? Like in the last 2 years, properties have gone up, I think, on average in the UK by like 8-10%. Previously to that, I think it was around like, you know, 5-6%, like nationally. Mm. So you can see how that shift has meant that people, like, your property's gone up by a lot more than what it used to. So you got to take that in consideration if that's going to be going on as well. So
and just to echo like what like Goku was saying about being prompt, be prompt with what you have to bring as well, like your documents.
Oh yeah.
Like, and for people who don't know, so the main things that they ask for: bank statements,
proof of funds,
ID, like just have these things, PDFs on your phone, mortgage ready to principal.
Yeah,
mortgage in principle. Just have them in like an iCloud, ready to go. Mm. Because the last thing you want to say is, okay, let me, you know, wait till I'm home.
And then
now that, you know, that whole day's over,
somebody
then,
else has made an offer.
You see what I'm saying? So just have things like PDFs of your passport.
And even solicitors, like, as in have your details of whatever solicitors you want to use. Even if it's solicitor you think you want to use, even if it's not going to be the end, you might change your mind later, but just have somebody, because that's the person that they're going to send all the offer to and memorandum of sale to. So
just have it already. Like on my phone right now, you have everything. Statements, just ready to go. Mm. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So just have them PDFs, send it to like your, maybe like your WhatsApp name. Like just send it somewhere where you can easily access it, where it's easy. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. So have these things ready, because they will always ask you and things will always change. You know, so just be ready for that.
One thing actually that I want to say this, and maybe we're going to break and we can carry on. But I thought it's a random thought, but I actually think that this would actually work for a lot of investors actually. Yeah. But I don't know if they'll do it because it's quite risky. But I've obviously done it on the other end, and that's like, if you're, let's say you're in your full time work and you want to grow a portfolio of like 10 properties, you have that, you actually have the money. Or, you know, you're building the money, you're able to afford maybe 2 a year or whatever. Mm. I would actually work with people that you can do JVs on, like, and then, you know, give them a split. Let's just say the split is 15% of the property ownership and the capital appreciation. But they live in that area. Let's say they live in another city. They live in Sheffield. I'm trying to buy 10 properties in Sheffield.
Mm.
I'll give them, and I had the money. I'm working. I'm too busy, but I got the money. I would actually give them 15%.
Mm.
You find the property. That way, you know, you've got stake in it, right? Like, you're motivated to go find the deal.
Mm. And a good deal at that.
I don't have to pay you to go view properties and stuff like that. But you know, you're building your own wealth like through this deal.
Mm.
You're gonna go out there and constantly find
sweat
deals.
Sweat equity.
Exactly. So I think that one thing that could benefit some investors is they know somebody that's local in a certain area. They live there. They want to get in property. They have a lot of time, but they don't have that much money. I would actually say to them, look, and if you're interested in managing a property, you know, and you can find a property, I'll let you do all that part. Yeah, I mean, and then I'll have the money. I'll raise the funds, and that way, in that sense, you're almost like, because you know, management contract, you're paying 12-15% anyway.
Yeah,
I mean, but in this case, you're actually getting someone to run around.
I'm with you.
Yeah, it makes sense.
So you don't have to pay them for any of the viewings.
Yeah, okay,
that's the what.
So you're saying if you can find someone local that you can trust, right?
Yep.
Give them a stake in the property ownership.
Yep.
They will find the property for you.
Yep.
Manage all the process to do with getting the property, the keys or whatever, get builders, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then also manage the property on a monthly basis for you as well. Yeah. And you're not paying them a fee because their fee is having equity in the property kind of thing. Okay.
And that's basically what I've done with the investor that I worked with.
Okay.
Obviously, the percentage is higher, but the premise is the same, innit? Like, I'll do all the running around, I'll do the viewings. And obviously, in that process, I might have to do 10 viewings to get a property.
Mm.
You know what I'm trying to say? It might take me, what's it called? It might take me time to find a property. I have to do the negotiations.
Mm.
Once you do get the property, I have to manage it, manage all the project management. But I know that I've got a stake in this business.
But I guess the hard bit with that is finding like somebody like that. Do you know what I mean?
Course,
like,
of course. And that's why it goes back to the networking part. You know what I'm saying?
You've got
to
put yourself out there.
You've got to put yourself out there. Like, you know, not everyone you're going to trust, but you don't want to do any deal with anyone you're not going to do long term. Like, no one likes doing one deal with someone. Like, you want to do 10, 15.
Mm.
So the whole point is that you find someone that you can trust.
Yeah.
And that you are happy to do, you know, 10 deals
with. Yeah, I would say as well, having like the right...
It's not for everyone, by the way.
It's not for everyone.
I'm just saying that.
I would say having the right structural contract in place as well is important.
Yeah.
like, because that, obviously you're probably thinking, yeah, but I hear you find someone I trust, but then how do I make sure they don't, course, you know, do me over or whatever? But don't be using templates on Google and stuff like that. Like, have a real shared, like, whatever contract you're going to have.
That's a good point.
Do you know what I mean? Just make sure you have that in place.
There's specific contracts for that kind of split anyway, but you can do research on. But
I can recommend.
Yeah, we can recommend as well. We've got people that we can help draw up a contract like that. But I think the main thing is to highlight the roles and responsibilities of each party. To say that, look, because imagine me in this position that I'm a millionaire. I'm doing a whole other business. I'm too busy, but I definitely want to keep investing in property. I'd rather find someone that's a hungry, motivated property investor that's probably not got that many properties, but I can say to him, look, me and you will build a portfolio over the next, you know, 10 years that will be 50 properties, and every six months we'll buy a property, and this is your stake in it. It might even be a small 15%, but the fact that I'm getting paid, like my manager, I'm still getting, because obviously in a deal, 15%, or it might be 50% of the rental income, that's still basically they're getting the same paid as management, plus you got ownership.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? So it makes so much sense to do that, because now I don't have to pay for viewings. No. I already have to pay a property manager anyway, so because it's too far from me. So that way, I'm kind of cutting costs, and it probably matches up when you do the numbers that it still makes sense. And you put someone on as well. There you go.
All right, so I say we take a break, and then the second half we go into, all right, how to practically invest up north, like from start to finish, basically.
Cool.
All right, then, cool. Let's take a break. Peace.
Hi, guys. It's Akin from Property Strat. If you haven't already, make sure to join the Patreon group. This is where we give you exclusive content. We give you all access to us via our WhatsApp and Telegram group. We also invite you down to podcast episodes and to come and see our sites and projects. So yeah, if you guys want to get a bit closer into what we're doing and get to know us a bit more, then definitely join the Patreon. Link in the bio on Instagram and on Twitter and on our website. So get joining. Take care, stay blessed, keep investing.
Welcome back to the Property Strategist podcast. So we're going to go straight into part two, where we're just going to take you through the whole step of like finding a property up north. So first things that you want to do, obviously, are searching. So go on to, you know, places like Rightmove, Zoopla, search, you know, the cities that you're interested in. So if it's like a city like Hull and you're interested because of, you know, it's next to the uni. So you want it to be a place that's within walking distance, maybe, or within 10 minutes travel distance. So that's the first thing you'd want to do. So go on to Rightmove, you know, search within 1 mile of Hull station, and then look at all of the things that come up under that area.
Even just to add to that, or like we mentioned earlier, that sometimes you don't have to go for the main cities, like you can widen your search a little bit more. So you might want to increase, you said 1 mile there, so you might want to say
three, five miles,
there, you know what I mean? And then again, obviously, once you do that, now look at the transport links to Hull after that. So now look at, okay, how long is it going to take me to get to Hull city centre, for instance, or is there anything near here that's going to benefit in the future, kind of thing. So that's another
The great thing about this country, just to chime in, is that the great thing about this country, they're always constantly working in the smaller cities to kind of bring it up to, you know, the level of the local main city there. For example, if you're in a Dudley, for example, which have got the Maryhill big shopping centre there, that wasn't there that long ago, do you know what I mean? But they would have seen boring, they would have seen all the other stuff, and they said, look, we need to build something here. So they're constantly doing that. They're constantly trying to find a way to bring up the smaller cities. So we're in an amazing time to invest, because a lot of these cities are not that developed. They're really old school, so you can get in there early, you're still going to benefit a lot. But
So, and it even could be a thing where you've got the main station, then you've got a station that can get to that station within a few minutes.
Literally.
And then you get a property that's 1 minute walking distance from there.
You
know what I'm saying? So you just got to be smart with it. So once you found somewhere, you obviously go through the whole process of calling up, seeing if it's, you know, nice, and then you go and then you book a viewing, or you might book someone to go and view for you. And then after that process, you can start the whole process of actually buying a house and putting in your offer and then going from there, really. So we want to fast forward all of that process, because, you know, that's just about buying a house. Now, Akin, I know that you brought up in Liverpool, didn't you?
Yeah.
So talk us through the process of that, because you were in London when it happened, right?
Yeah. I was in between like London and Birmingham, Liverpool, and Birmingham at the time.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a struggle, but I think I'm just trying to think back from the beginning to the end process. But the main thing was, I kind of knew.
Why did you even go up to Liverpool, actually, first of all? Why Liverpool?
Why Liverpool?
At that time.
Why Man Liverpool? United.
I think, to be fair, me and Kenny have spoken about Liverpool quite a few times.
Yeah, you did.
And at the time, I think Kenny was saying that Liverpool's a place that he feels that people should go to.
Yeah.
So I think there was a time actually you had like a postcode, like loads of postcodes.
Yeah.
Basically, based on my budget, I started basically going down the list of where I could invest. I wanted to get a house, obviously, as well. So I kind of looked down the list, you know, where can I afford to get a property out there for a buy to let.
But even then, how did you know how much you could afford? Because that's another thing that people take for granted. They just assume they can get any house.
Yeah. Obviously, just as always with all the houses, speak to the broker,
see affordability what, checks.
Get affordability checks.
There you go. Mortgaging principle.
Mortgaging principle, stuff like that. Obviously, yeah, went through that process. He told me what my budget is and stuff like that. So I used that to then, like I said, go to the list of postcodes and start looking down in terms of like the
prices
of the house and where I can afford. I came across a postcode that I was like, yeah, I like this postcode. You can.
But what kind of things were you looking at for that postcode? Was it like, okay, this is not far from the football stadium?
Yeah. So again, based on the conversation I was having with Kenny, there was two options, right?
Kenny? There's an area in Liverpool called Kearney.
Kearney.
I don't know why. There's an area called Kearney.
Probably Kenny could.
I don't know. I don't know because of him.
Probably.
King but, Kenny.
Stands for Kennington, though.
Yeah, that's it. Kennington.
Yeah. But, I think the main thing is that I wanted, obviously, the best option is to be near city centre, right? I tried to look at city centre first. I wanted to be as close to as many things as I could be. So,
yeah.
University, business parks, city centre in general.
So easy access to
These places outside of London, they work quite simply. If you're near the city centre, the closer the city centre, the bigger the house, the most expensive it'll be. So it's not rocket science. So then I just used that as a way to kind of judge where I would invest. Where I invested was relatively... Well, it was close to city centre. It was about 10 minutes away from city centre. But it was also really close to a business park and also a local shopping centre, as well as schools. And it's not that far from the university as well.
Yep.
So I kind of found a good spot. It was the competition in this area was slightly less than the other ones just because it was just outside of, like, the actual postcode is Elf. It was Elf.
I can't remember.
I'm even forgetting my own postcode.
Yeah,
L13 or something. But it was just less competitive than the other ones, the L7s and L6s. Plus a lot of the postcodes, like the lower like numbers, they were close to the football stadium, and I didn't really want that.
Yeah, I think some of the areas are rough around there as well. You know,
Generally around football stadiums outside of London, they can be quite rough.
The immediate area. Yeah, I see what you mean. I've experienced that a few times. Actually, a few cities.
Yeah, I've done that a few times as well with rent-to-rents as well. That's why
it's important to get that local knowledge.
Because one road in an area could just be bad. If you can only one road, and if you get that road, then you're kind of pissed because it's not valued the same as everywhere.
Because remember when we went to Liverpool and then
one side of the road was like 20k cheaper than the other side.
Auntie Tower, remember, and she said prostitutes are there.
By the way, Auntie Tower, shout out to Auntie Tower. She actually gave me, I called her as well
during that time.
During that time, to say that I'm looking at this area. What do you think? She said that's an amazing area. I've got a property there too. I mean, the main thing was that I kind of found houses. I kind of knew where I wanted to invest. Now I was just booking viewings. Now with this process, geez Louise, mate, it was nuts. Obviously, this one was
So you're going by yourself. You're doing viewings yourself personally.
Because
obviously Viva wasn't even there then.
It wasn't even like that. So this was tough. So yeah, I was just booking viewings, literally going down there. Funny enough, obviously I'm a little bit experienced in this stuff now, but
yeah,
I did. I think it was only one day it took me to find it.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I kind of
had a block booking. Like you did, okay, I'm gonna do viewings all on this day.
Yeah. Cool. So I think it was ridiculous. Something like 10 viewings or something. Something mad like that. Obviously on the day, cancellations. Yeah, a lot of calculations.
How annoying it is when you've made a toll journey.
Or someone made an offer.
Someone made an offer already.
The vendor hasn't given us the keys.
Remember the first time we went Berms?
Yeah.
We drove all the way up there, only for someone to say.
We ain't got the keys yet, mate. How many rooms you booked that day?
Do you know what? This was our first rent to rent.
Yeah, so I think we only booked like two vins. So it was excited.
But this one worked that well because one, we booked on the day and then that's the one that we got.
Okay, you know what I'm saying? That's how it works out.
Yeah, for me as well, for my first house as well. Yeah. I didn't even know about that house until I went out to the vins. I booked on the day.
I remember we went to the last vin and you were like,
the last one was dead. The first three houses we saw were dead.
Yeah, you were like, it's done.
And it was like, oh, there's one that's just come on the market today, actually.
And you said to me just before the viewing, maybe I just go home.
I was happy. Because buying a yard was stressed, man. I was scared.
And obviously, back then, we were young and hungry. You think I'm making that journey now? Without confirmation.
That is making sense. To be fair, you got to do what you got to do. But
yeah. I was saying.
But yeah, but with that one, again, like, booked 100 views. Oh, 100 views, but a bit like 10 views.
Yeah.
Loads of cancellations, loads of issues. None of it happened. Literally, I got to the last, basically I got to a certain point where I'd done all the viewings and I didn't find what I wanted. And I was sat there, I remember I was in KFC. I'm an emotional eater. When I'm sad, yeah, I need to eat, I haven't eaten yet.
Man said, I wasted a journey.
I either want to eat something bad for me.
Punish yourself.
Or I want something sweet, like I want something like dessert. Like,
nah, I hear you, like, I hear
I'm
you.
I'm the same in it, I'm the same in it. So yeah, but yeah, basically I sat there and I said, you know, no.
Man's not made all this trip.
I'm not going back to, you know, Berms or London without getting this. So I sat out in KFC, I started calling all the agents and stuff. Finally got another couple of viewings, I think it was like two viewings or three viewings, I can't remember. And then literally did the two, they weren't great. I had one more and I was just thinking, this is finished. It is what it is. And then I went to the viewing and it was really good. Really, like, perfect, like what I wanted. Really what I wanted. Nice. Like really, really nice property. I was like, this is great.
Perseverance.
I asked, you know, what's the price? And it was less than what it should have been, to be fair. Like slightly less than what it should have been. And again, like at the time I was just like, you know what, Bunnett, like whatever he wants, what does he want? Because I just don't even want to
take it.
I don't even want to do the negotiations. Like And I even tell people that sometimes now, if it makes sense for you, the numbers still make sense, just do it. Like, but I just said, yeah, like, what's the number he wants? And he said the number. I said, yeah, cool. I just sent him the offer. He said he's happy with it. Sent all my documents, ready, boom, 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 boom. And then that was it. But
So just to take a pause on that moment. Yeah. So you're obviously still based in Birmingham/London.
Yeah.
And you bought a property in Liverpool now. So how are you managing that? Like, how's that working?
Yeah. So then fast forward to getting the property, doing the viewings now. Again, we're talking about remotely. Like, you can do this stuff by yourself, but I think it can be difficult. I had to obviously, this was slightly different. I didn't take one chance. This is like a good three, four times I had to go up for viewings. So I had to drive up. One of the maddest drives was from London, because it's different from driving to Berms to Liverpool. Oh, yeah, I think it's like an hour.
I've done it from London.
From London's like 6 hours.
Four hours if you want to do a little stop.
Yeah. And I just remember just blowing up there for viewings, like, bro. And I remember that viewing, I don't think he even banged.
Some people don't even turn up.
Hey, and the thing is, another thing people don't realize is that when you're from London, you're assuming that everyone that you're doing viewings for are like you, right? Like, they work similar jobs to you. They work. When you go to certain areas, like you're going to certain black country areas, like Wolverhampton and these places, there's a lot of workers. Like, they do that.
That's actually a thing, by the way. Black country is a specific part of the West Midlands, by the way.
Being racist.
Yeah, no, because people don't understand it might be black country area.
What does that mean?
I get what you mean, because
basically in the West Midlands area, certain areas that are more
called black country.
Yeah, they're more industrial. They're more industrial, and they call it the
black country. Black country area. Back in the days, we were the industrial and that, but yeah.
But But what's it called?
Yeah, so like, what about them though? Like, why is that?
Yeah, you know, what I'm saying is that
the clientele, the people.
Yeah, the type of clientele you're going to, you know, you need to be aware of that, because, for example, I put the viewings out, I got, at a certain price point, I got loads of people coming.
Like, oh, yeah, I remember that day, because he was like, I got like about 10 viewings.
That obviously was really good, because obviously affirmed that at the price point I was going to get at, the demand was crazy. In fact, it was literally like 20 people in like 2 days that wanted to come in. Right.
Gumtree?
It was. I did everything. Gumtree. Oh, that's another thing as well. Like, depending on what area you are, different platforms work better. But
Anyway.
I think it was Open Rent and then Gumtree. Mm-hmm. But Gumtree was probably the best one. And then they came through. And then essentially, I had the loads of viewings. I had to keep going back and forth to do them. Some people wouldn't turn up, obviously. Some people would
The worst ones are the ones you call on the day. You're like, oh, sorry, you got a viewing for 1 o'clock, and you're calling now at 1. Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll see. I'll try and get down there. They hang up the phone. Yeah, you're there for 15 minutes. You try to call back. Phone's off. They've blocked you. Wasting my time, man. Just tell me you can't make it.
And bear in mind, like, you're taking time off your day, like, all these things. So it's very, very difficult. Mm. Yeah.
So I think, I don't know if you mentioned this already, but the whole idea of people staying up there like a whole week.
Yeah, yeah. So one of the things that I would
recommend
is, like, if you're gonna get, number one, you want to do viewings for a property you want to buy, or you want to do viewings for once you got the property you want to rent it out. Just go to that place for a week. Just go there. Like, if it's a Liverpool or something, like, just say Monday to Friday or Monday to Thursday, I'm going to bring my laptop, I'm going to get a nice hotel. Might stay at the house if you've got the house already or whatever. Yeah. But I'm gonna go out there for a week, and then I'm going to do the viewings, because it's just not practical for you to go up and down.
And obviously, think about this too. Like, even in London, I hate it when, say, for example, you've taken out time to come for a viewing at, say, 12 o'clock p.m., and then they say, oh, I'm running 2 hours late. Bro, I can't factor in two hours' time, you know? But if it's a thing where I'm stationed there for the day, then I don't mind.
You can come whenever you like.
Yeah.
And in addition to the fact that staying up there for about a week, why it makes sense, especially when you're buying a house, is you get an opportunity to speak to local agents, walk into agents, you speak to them, have a sit down, do you know what I mean? Go on bare viewings, because sometimes with these viewings,
be reactive.
You can be reactive if you stay up there because sometimes they might say there's a viewing on Tuesday, but you're thinking, I'm at work.
They might say, I've got a viewing in like 2 hours. You're in London. You might miss out on the best deal.
Happens often. People say, I'm actually here now, you know, or I'm like 5 minutes away now.
Yeah, if you're available and you're like, oh, sorry, I'm from London.
It's funny, when you speak about your property and the last viewing and my one, similar thing, like, you kind of need to get lucky. In life and in property, a lot of it comes down to actually putting yourself in position to get lucky.
Creating your own luck. Even with myself as well, I stayed up there for a week when I was doing viewings for the house. Like, do you know, when
I was sleeping on the floor.
Exactly.
People don't know their stories.
Sleeping in the fam.
What's that thing called? Sleeping bag.
Yeah, man.
You know what?
No beds.
Can you believe there was no water in the house?
There weren't no water supply.
They had to drill down
what,
like, the front of the house in order to get the supply in. Like, because it's been locked, but
it
was all a madness, basically. Yeah. And it's just like, long story short, like, the two biggest obstacles was when I was viewing at the beginning and getting down there regularly to view, and when I was doing the viewings for the tenants, actually getting down there often. I was just driving up and down, which was obviously killing my petrol, etc. But yeah, ended up finding someone great, and then
People prefer this way of doing things rather than having somebody source it for them, because some people just want to learn and all of that stuff.
I think. For some people, it makes sense. Mm. It makes sense. Like, some people want to get into it, learn it, be a part of it, even have the memories and the process.
Which is important.
You know what I'm trying to say? But I just think, if you're going to do it, definitely just the best thing to do, go book a hotel, stay there for a week.
Viewings.
Book more than viewings than you even thought you should book. Mm. Even when you think.
Overdo it.
Yeah, overdo it. Mm. Overdo it. And then, after that, obviously, we'll talk about maintenance. You know, once you actually get a property, how have we dealt with, you know, being in another city?
So let's say someone calls and says, this needs to be fixed. Or let's say there's a tenant that moves out and then you need to do viewings again for someone else. Like, how do you maintain that sort of process of it?
I just got a nightmare flat. I was thinking, I'm going to have to go back. I think this is where, are you talking about someone that's not got people there?
Someone that doesn't have a managing agent.
Okay, cool.
Because even simple things like cutting keys.
Luckily enough, because I had a little bit of work done in the house, a little bit, not that much, but a little bit of work done. Had a friend or your friend,
Israel
helped me out. So he lives locally in Liverpool and he's a great handyman. Like, he can figure out anything, basically. I had him stationed there. He helped me put up a key safe. So I actually had to, I didn't want to go back to Birmingham again. So I left him a cut key. And he put a key safe at the front of the house. So I actually didn't even move in my tenant. He moved it himself. There was some work that needs to be done.
With the key safe.
Any work I needed to get in the house, I just kind of called him and then he was able to do it. But I would, if it was that tenant was going to leave, I would definitely want to get like a viewing agent or somebody I'd work with. But so far, any maintenance issue, he's been the person to deal with it. So they've got a direct line. So he'll just message me and say, the tenant has messaged me to fix something. This is the cost. Is that okay? Then I said,
oh, nice.
Yeah, that's all right. So I kind of got that partnership at the moment. But again, you can't rely on that one person. Mm. I may need to get someone else. But for now, it's working.
And obviously, things are always going to be different because you could have a tenant or you could have like a singlet family where they're going to stay long term and they could be happy to sort things out for you and obviously bill you later, for example. That's or and it could be a thing where, okay, you're going to move in a family, you know, maybe once a year. So you could, you know, not mind doing that trip now again.
Do you know, another thought just came to my mind. This is why you should be careful about the strategy you pick. For example, a lot of people talk to us or talk to me about obviously finding properties. I do sourcing and stuff like that. They're looking for HMOs and they're sometimes not even looking to get management with it. They're like, oh, I'll manage it myself in another city.
For luck, and from the night, too.
Hey, you're silly.
It's not easy.
But I'm just like, HMO. Are you like, and then they're like, but no, the returns is higher. They know that there's more tenants, they pay higher. But I'm like, do you know
the amount of time that you're going to need to dedicate to this? Don't get me wrong, not to be off-putting, but if it's round the corner from you,
then it's calm.
Yeah,
it's calm.
When it's 5 hours away,
unless you have a team to manage it for you.
Bear in mind, you got maybe four or five different tenants that will all have four different things that they don't like or that
four
they want
different
done.
Things each.
You know what I'm saying?
That's 20 problems.
You know what I'm saying? Whereas if it's, you know, like
more money, more problems, boy.
You know what I'm saying? But if it's like a nice little singlet in the Midlands where it's gonna sort, you know, you won't need to go there often, you won't hear from them often. Like,
you know what's so crazy?
There are some people that I haven't heard from in 6 months.
Honestly, no, that's a great point, you know. When it comes to finding tenants, I actually think this is something that people should really consider. Mm. The person you're getting into the house, how handy are they? How handy are you? Because honestly, if I've got a choice of three people and one of them says, I'm a handyman, I do great work around the house. My Liverpool tenant, though he's one or two times had to contact, I swear to you, he done the garden so nicely for me the other day.
Yeah.
I was so happy. He paid me rent. He said, oh, Akin, just to show you like how the garden looks now. Yeah. You know, the garden was a shithole, mate. Like, when I got it, and I was like, I'm going to sort this one out, innit? I told him, I'll sort it out. I will sort it out, mate. But let me get around to it. He said, no worries, man. I've sorted it out now. Yeah. He's laid the grass. I think he laid like one kind of like you know, what's that?
AstroTurf.
Yeah. And then he's put like the fences up. I said,
so the value just went up.
Yeah, so I said, you know what? I'm gonna get more tenants like this that are handy. Do handy work in the paperwork?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
I'm not gonna lie, some people cap though. They said they can do handy work.
Just to get the house.
I know we call you every minute. I cannot. I thought you said you could.
Yeah. By the way, I've had nightmare, you know, tenants as well.
Fact.
But cool.
But let's do you know, give some tips on just maintenance.
If you don't have someone that's managing it for you out there, I'll probably say just try to get a local handyman that you can have a good relationship with. Like, just be real with them, and just say like, look, I'm in London, but I'm gonna have frequent works getting done. Can I rely on you to kind of call you out? And again, you can find people like that, Facebook Marketplace, My Builder, Gumtree, but. Ideally, initially, it would be good for you to meet them, just kind of get a vibe from them. So but obviously, alternatively, just get a good management company. Because, for example, my brother, he's got properties in Lincoln, about three, and he doesn't do anything. Like, it's so passive because he has somebody that looks after it for him in Lincoln. So again,
you
can get that.
What I would say, look,
yeah, because okay, this is just a separate tip, because. These kind of people, you need a good relationship with them.
That's what I'm going to say.
A good relationship. So don't be those people that, you know, they do a job, you're trying to cut corners, you're trying to say, okay, can you give a bit of this kind? Treat them well and give a tip.
Word.
Do you know what I'm saying? Give a tip. Like, don't be, you know, that kind of
too
guy.
Too frugal.
Like, give a tip because these are people, they're going to remember, oh, that guy gave me a tip. I'm always going to come to him first. Mm. I have work here, but I'm going to drop it because he always pays me well. Do you know what I'm saying? If you really want that life where there's no stress, trust me, you got to do these things. I'm telling you.
That's such a big chip. And you know what, people don't realise, when it comes to this property stuff, like, I'd rather give my property to someone that, you know, like, I got a relationship with than just a random, like, estate agent. That's why there's so many opportunities in property.
Word.
Because, you know, just being in Birmingham, Wolverhampton, London, and those places where we're helping people and stuff, people prefer to give it to us, not because we're necessarily smarter than anyone else. They just know that we're, you know, we're
relatable.
We're trustworthy, we care about your property. So it's not a thing of like, you know what I mean, even when it comes to builders, a lot of builders, like, if I feel like they're not really people that I can trust or have a relationship with.
A vibe with them.
I don't really want that. If it's strictly business, I don't want it.
This guy builders are his boys.
Come let her go to my wedding.
Your wedding, bro. Literally, saying? Go kid. Nah, they're cool guys.
No, 1-2-1 okay. Stand up.
Nah, like one time there was a builder that we had as well, like a handyman. He needed a place to stay. We had a spare room. And then he went there for the night. And then he was like, oh, how much? We were like, don't worry about it. Since that day, well, during that time anyway, since that day.
Another story for another day.
Yeah, we have. But since that day, though, I could call him for anything. He's there that day. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes just be nice to people and treat them
give
well.
Give some.
Give tips. You know what I mean? Give things, for, you know, don't be that stingy guy, but cool.
Yeah. Well, great episode, man. I think that was a good episode. Is there any final points?
I think that's a good episode to get people started, to get them thinking about how to invest up north and how, you know, how it's going to be realistically if you were to do it by yourself or to get help.
Obviously, shout us. We do sourcing, we do management, and we do consultations as well. So if you're not sure about what strategy, what city, you know, we're here to have those 1-hour sessions where we can help you set that criteria. Then from that criteria, help you to go out there, find a property. And guess what? We'll even manage it. So we give you the full on service.
Come on.
Property show to the world and back.
Come on. Yeah.
Peace. Yes, sir.
But yeah, take care, guys. Peace.
Oh, wait. One more thing. Okay. One more thing. We got an event coming. Yeah.
Okay.
So
just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Say no more. We'll leave it at that. But just know.
I mean, should we name names?
No. It's coming. We're dropping names soon.
All right.
Patreon gets first dibs.
Yeah. Obviously, Patreon will hear this and they're going to.
If you like, join Patreon. If you like, don't join. It's up to you.
It's up to you. It's up to you. But
this is a huge one. Like, it's not a joke. It's going to be a regular one as well.
It's going to be regular.
It's going to be regular as well. So
come on.
It's a big thing. But yeah.
Peace,
guys. Take care. Bye.
West and feet, I just want it. Happiness, get it. If I broke, now my business, get it. When I show you, it go bright, get it. All I care for the night, get it. Happiness, get it. If I broke, now my business, get it. When I show you, it go bright, get it. All I care for the night.